Aloha, everyone. I'm your host, Christina Laney Mitri, and welcome to Smart Living Hawaii's podcast, where we discuss smart homes and technology, sustainability, healthy lifestyles, and smart business. Today, we will continue our Sustainable Leaders series and have a talk story with Wendy Lowe. Aloha, Wendy.
Aloha.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk story with us. Before we begin, let me share a little bit on Wendy. And here we go. After operating Kona Paradise Candies for the past 20 years, Wendy is now retired into a business that allows her to travel to many parts of the world as she promotes stewarding your body the way God intended for us all, going plant strong towards optimal health. She now is the first national marketing director for the state of Hawaii for the Juice Plus company, and leads over 300 distributors towards prevention and wellness, extending into promoting and growing sustainable products and vegetables. Wendy also represents the Tower Garden and encourages all of Hawaii to step up to grow chemical-free vegetables for our future generations. She's responsible for bringing over 1,000 Tower Gardens to this state to promote residential and urban farming. She dabbles in many arenas and helps so many as she shares God's light along the way. Let's dive into Wendy's exciting world. So, let's get started. I always like to start with background. So, maybe you can start from the beginning. Short little recap. That would be helpful.
Sure. You mean like from the day I was born?
What you find relevant, yeah. I guess.
Well, you know, I want to share with you my claim to fame through all of this is that I am one of the first keiki in the state of Hawaii to have open heart surgery here. In 1963, I was born with a heart condition, and in 1963, going downhill pretty quickly as far as my health. At that time, American Heart Association found the need to fly in a pediatric cardiologist to come to the state and do some procedures on the children here. I was one of the three chosen. And I'm still alive and well. I'm hitting my 60th birthday. So that, I guess, kind of segues me into being appointed to promote wellness and health throughout the state. And that's why my desire for this is so great when I look back. But of course, I had no idea that this would be in my path and in my future. But it, when I look back, it all ties in now. And so this is where I am. 60 years later, promoting wellness and health and trying to reach as many people as possible to just be concerned about how to steward their body and just eat the things from the earth and be more plant strong is what we're trying to promote.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe you want to dive into your family?
Yeah. Sure. So there are five of us children. We come from three sisters and two brothers, and my mom and dad, of course. My mom being Okinawan, having the longest life expectancy of any sorts of people. The Okinawans and the Hunzas are the longest living people on earth. And my father is Chinese. However, because of lifestyle choices, my mom has gone to heaven at 64. And I told you, she has the longest life expectancy. However, the lifestyle choices that she made wasn't the best. Knowing what I know now, maybe mommy could still be alive. So my heart and my voice now is even stronger because, you know, you are what you eat. And we have to really promote that. And I'm being from the West Side, I'm a Miley chick. We're a local Tita chick who knew nothing about nutrition. Within the last 16 years, I've learned so much. And now whatever I've learned, I want to promote. I have two daughters. One is 33 and the other is 29. And just trying my best to encourage them at this point in their lives to steward their bodies, because knowing this one point is really what drives me. That generation, your generation, Christina, is the first generation that is segued to live. You are scheduled to live longer than your children. So knowing that statement, what are you going to do about it? Knowing the storm is coming, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit back and just say, okay, we'll just wait and see the storm through, and say, it's not going to affect me? Or are you going to take action? And so some of the people on the outside may not know what to do. So my responsibility is to encourage them to make healthier choices so that your children can live longer than you and their children will live longer than them. Because the cycle of life, as we know, my children should bury me and their children should bury them. We should never bury children. And more and more and more, everyone is saying, Wendy, can you pray for my son? Can you pray for my daughter? Just had a baby. They're 2 years old. and they have cancer and they have heart disease. And yes, I don't mind praying for them. However, I want to catch them before they break. And so that's why the fight for growing sustainably on the island and teaching them and encouraging them that there are solutions, but you just have to take action on it. Yeah. You know, so for, you know, Christina, you're a business lady and you all, you know, we always say, oh, success is being at the right place at the right time. You know, yes. But the more important part is success is being at the right place at the right time and taking action.
Yeah.
So now that we know that there are solutions to the problems out there, we've got to step it up. And so that's exactly what I want to do by promoting aeroponic growing systems and doing what we're doing. I think we have a little bit of the solution in our hands. And if we can encourage others to embrace this, so every lanai on Hawaii, in a condo, every lanai should have a tower. Every urban setting should have a pod of tower gardens so that we can have the best quality of food and steward our body the way God intended us to. And I think it's very important. That's kind of the message I want to share with everybody today.
Yeah, well, I mean, we will definitely dive into the tower garden in a second. But what was there, was it just your family that really, that empathy, like with your mom and her passing, that just sparked this in you? Like,
oh, yeah,
that you,
for sure. Well, when I turned 43, and you all know, you young millennials, when you hit 40, and it may be even
almost there. Yeah,
and it may be even younger for this upcoming generation, but when my time, when we hit 40, life really, really changes. And I thought, how can that be? But heck, when you turn 40, the weight doesn't come off as easily. The arms get shorter because you got to keep extending your hand out so that you can see, because your vision goes a little bit wacky. But I believe it's even happening to your generation, even younger, before you're hitting 40. So when I was 43, I still owned the chocolate factory and I was getting bigger and fatter and not as healthy. And so I prayed and I said, you know, I need some help here, because at this rate, I'm going to be a monstrous obese woman and it's not going to be pretty. So I prayed. And then the whole food nutrition concept came into my path, into my world. Very, very blessed with that. And then 10 years later, the Tower Gardens popped into a company that I researched and I embraced. And I said, I want to represent that. And that's exactly what we do. So it was my family's health history. It was my unhealthy beginning and it was my healthy lifestyle at 40. And at 43, I was still eating Costco chickens and canned Spam and Vienna sausage, and canned corn was my favorite, but I don't touch that stuff anymore. And maybe on the sly, I might have, because Spam musubis are so delicious, but I won't do it regularly like I used to, where it was my main staple of food. So I've learned and grown a lot.
Yeah, well, basically your life is pretty typical for someone here in Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
and they grow up with it, not realizing it's there's healthier alternatives,
yes,
right?
So yes.
I totally agree with you on that. I would love to see more people get more into the healthy lifestyles. And I think that a lot of the younger generations are moving in that direction.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, bringing in a lot of this like local food into Hawaii, you know, like as this is what we're going to do, is definitely helping carve the path. But today, because we are talking more on the urban core of mm-hmm. our island on Oahu, I wanted to really discuss this urban farming,
sure.
you know, urban agriculture, because we are not there yet,
mm-hmm.
By any means, not
yes.
even close to
yes.
even considering this. You're one of the first pioneers that are doing this on your own. And I think that this should be more than just an, you know, one person initiative. Like, it really should be the community as a whole, or even the county as a whole, focusing on this. I can understand statewide might not be as relevant to, you know, the outer islands, the neighbor islands, I'm sorry, but for this urban core on Honolulu, it's
mm-hmm.
one thing that we can really see some big changes.
For sure.
And there's numerous reasons why, and other states and countries are doing this, and this is the kind of thing I wanted to talk about with you.
Yes.
So if maybe we can start with what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and then we can talk about what other places are doing.
Sure.
So you have the Tower Garden.
Yes, ma'am.
And tell me more about it. I'm going to ask you some questions along the way if you don't
sure.
already
yeah,
explain
just,
it.
Yeah, just interject anytime. But I was very privileged to be one of the first Tower Garden owners here in Hawaii. And I brought one home. And I set it up on my balcony. And mind you, I grow nothing.
How long ago was this?
That was 7 years. So this is the seventh year, the great harvest year. So really, really exciting.
Although it doesn't take 7 years to harvest.
Oh, no, no. And so that's the joy, you know, Christina, is that I brought it home and I don't grow anything. You give me a, you know, an orchid plant, when that flower drops down, that plant is going down the chute because I can't even revive it. And it's just going to die on me from that point. I grow nothing. I don't have the joy of growing anything. And look at me, 7 years later, I'm the lead tower garden farmer in the state, as well as I'm pretty up there in the nation. So that means anybody can do this is what I'm trying to point out.
And just for some of you who don't know, when I do my podcast, I actually bring the mic to them and their offices. I'm actually in her apartment. Yes. Because this is where her tower gardens sit for her household.
For the last 7 years.
For the last 7 years. And how many tower gardens do you have here?
Well, I just broke down one and we actually had four on the outside. We had five, but what we did was, since we had a really neat Tim Blank, the designer of the tower garden, he came to Hawaii and along with him, He brought the grow lights for us, the LED grow lights.
Oh, that's what I see. It's different.
Yes, that's what's the glow behind you.
Yeah,
you have the glow in front, but the one behind you is the LED lights.
I'm going to take some photos before we leave, so you can definitely check it out on our Instagram and Facebook. And, you know, when we post it out, then you'll be able to see what we're talking about.
Right, right. And they got to see it because I've grown the tower gardens on the outside. And now that it's in my home, I don't turn on lights in the dining room, in the kitchen, in the living room, because that bugger just lights up my whole home. It's LED light, so it doesn't take or consume a lot of energy. And it's bright enough that it just illuminates this whole. Actually, when you're coming up the street, my home looks like a flying saucer. It's like ready to take off because it's all beaming this LED light. Yeah. Yeah. So 7 years ago, we got introduced to the tower gardens. We brought it here. What you need to do is you open the package up and you put the seeds into the rock wool. And in 2 days' time, the seeds start sprouting and you've got little babies. And at that point, what really intrigued me was that I felt like I was a grandmother because something was growing right there in front of my eyes. And then after 2 weeks of being in the rock wall, it just put it in the tower garden. And then it does pretty much the rest. The tower garden already, you insert or you fill it up with 20 gallons of water and some proprietary tonic. And that's all you basically have to do after you set it up, which takes about a good 10 to 15 minutes. So you put the rock wall in with your two-week-old seedling. And then there's a little pump in the tower garden that sends water to the top. And it drips down. And my timer here in the sky is on for 15 minutes, which shoots water to the top, drips nutrients and water to all the root systems for 15 minutes. And then the next 45 minutes of the hour, your root systems sit in air. This is called aeroponics. The next hour shoots up 15 minutes, water, nutrients, 45 off. 15 water, 45 air. So 24 times a day, my plants are being fed. So it's like having a baby and feeding it 24 times a day.
But then you don't have to do it, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, and that's why it's really meant for busy people. And like I travel a lot. The 20 gallons of water can pretty much last me up to almost 2 weeks. So after 2 weeks, then I'll ask, you know, someone to go ahead and water it or fill it up. And then when we fill it up, it's another 2 weeks. So if I was gone for, like you were gone for 3 weeks, when you're gone, after 2 weeks, somebody needs to come and fill it up. Other than that, it's good to go. So the good thing is, Christina, is when I leave for my trip, I don't clean my icebox out with produce and come home to dead ones. And when I come home, I don't have to buy more because it's there.
Yeah, you come back and it's already like, how long does it take to grow things?
Okay, so after you put your seedlings in, your two-week-old seedling, and you put it into the tower, with just microgreens or lettuce, it's about 3 weeks to 4 weeks in the tower and you can start eating already. And then like we have kale. The kale, once it matures, my kale and my towers are probably about 6 or 7 months old. And what it does, it just keeps growing and you just keep cutting the base and the crown or the heart of the kale plant continues to grow. So I've been eating kale off my towers for the last 7 years.
Wow. Okay. And how long does it take for like a branch or one of the kale leaves to grow? Because it's just consistently growing, right? Is that right?
So if you're going for microgreens, I would say after a month on the tower, you can start eating the little green leaves, but I want it heartier than that. I want it to be robust and continuous production. I would say at least a good 2 months on the tower before you want to start trimming the bottom and then letting it start shoot like a palm tree. And as I said, for the last 7 years, my kale has been producing. I have not bought kale in 7 years. And, you know, even if you wanted to go eco-friendly and all the right reasons, even if you just pocket, if you're Chinese and you want to save money, you know how much money I save by not ever having to buy kale? That's how I do my calculations on my taurus consumption production.
My kale calculations.
Because I take like about 8 leaves of kale off a day. And even if non-GMO, chemical-free kale fresh like I do, I just calculate that's about $4 or $5. $4, 30 days a month, that's $120 on just my kale that I'm saving. So if people are concerned about not just the E. coli or the rat lung worm or anything like that, the fact that you can get it cut
or
fresh.
Pesticides for yes, that matter.
Exactly. And I live in a condo. I don't have a yard. So this is perfect for urban dwellers. And if you look out this window right here, what do you see, Christina? Condos.
We are at the top of a building where everything around us is, I'll even take a picture of that, but it's literally, you can see Diamond Head, but you can also see like hundreds of buildings here. Mm-hmm. And we're just surrounded by buildings where we're at. So to me, you know, I live in Pearl City, and I had this little patch that I was going to put like, you know, good, clean soil, and I was going to do everything. And I'm not a green thumb by any means, and this proved that I wasn't. But it was also in Pearl City, which is so hot, right? So I tried to do this was years ago when my daughter was like 1 or 2, and I tried to do this. I'm going to try to grow veggies, right? So I tried to do it, and then I actually started getting, you know, some veggies growing, and then these darn snails and slugs. I mean, I could not believe, you know, first of all, you can't forget to water, right? Because it's so dry and hot there. Like one day with no water, like the dirty dying and wilted. Yeah. But at nighttime, they came out and they had this like beautiful zucchini, and I was so proud of it being organic because I didn't add all this stuff to it. And then, oh man, they ate them all up, and I was trying to see. And the only thing that I could think of, I didn't know at the time what kills them. So you use the snail and slug, you know, remover. And I didn't know this, right? Because I wasn't doing organic. It was like a long time ago. And I was just trying to grow food. And I thought, you know, it was way more. It was like a $100 zucchini that I ended up making. It's like too expensive. So I realized this isn't my forte. And I realized that I don't know how to do this. And I went back to like buying organic food on, you know, at the store. So long story short, this is literally a solution for people that anybody
can do this.
You know, when you have those succulent plants and those are the only plants that people say they can grow, this is kind of like that concept where if that is the only plant that doesn't die, this is a plant that won't die either.
Right. And so, you know, like that's a major problem, the snails, right? So with the tower gardens, because it's lifted above the ground, we don't have dirt mites. We don't have pests of the dirt. We don't have rat lung worm disease or a potential wall because the slugs can't get up there. We don't have snails because the snails can't get up there, and probably never will have E. coli as well. So these are just, you know, just peace of mind tidbits. That is why I think the tower garden makes so much sense, because I don't have to worry about those things. Even though I live in the sky and I don't have all those issues, when I cut my kale, I still rinse and wash. It's just out of habit. But in theory, you could go to the tower, pick and eat, and you don't have to worry because absolutely no chemicals and bugs and all the things other than that not available up here.
Yeah, yeah, so and that's the other thing. When you get to a certain height, right, on a building, the bugs are less, you know. And even birds, like they just don't come up as high. Do you have birds sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes. Only when, you know, I have the bright red tomatoes.
Oh.
And it's like so saying, eat me. So the birds are like, meh, and then so they do. But if I have like 100 tomatoes.
Well, you have one of them inside with the lights, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I guess that's if you're going to do tomatoes, you could do it on the inside of
them. But, you know, when it starts blossoming and the fruits come, you've got like 100 tomatoes coming out. If the birds ate 10, it's cool.
Yeah.
You got to feed them too, you know, better than feeding them bread and crumbs. Yeah. So they come and eat the tomatoes, and then what they're going to do is they're going to poo-poo it down in somebody's yard, and they'll have tomato plants.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a good thing.
Tomatoes. Yeah. Around, it'll probably land on someone's car.
Right.
It does it.
Yeah. So We need all the help we can get. And you know what's really funny? I was telling Derek the other day, we were talking about bees. And for some amazing reason, the doors are always open here. One bee flew in and it landed right behind me. A bee. We just were talking about bees and trying to grow one of the flowering plants that attracts bees. And just a mere talk on it brought the bee up. By mere sheer coincidence, right?
Maybe it's trying to show you that. We are on the top. Like at my apartment that I'm at, we are like maybe on the 33rd floor. Oh. So there's definitely way less anything. No. We don't get birds, and we every now and then there's some weird gnats or something, you know, outdoors. But mostly there's no bugs like mosquitoes and stuff.
Right.
So, but. Over here at the 11th floor, yeah, you're still at that mark where you can still see the life coming coming in the door.
But we don't have flies or mosquitoes, so the doors and the windows are always open.
Yeah,
and so that's what I like about here is that we still bring the outdoor in.
Yeah, exactly. So back to these tar gardens, and just to put things into perspective, because I think when I first saw them, I was thinking like in the thousands or something, like what one of these things costs. So could you share with us what it would cost to actually get one and then to have it set up, I guess, all inclusive, you know, just kind of an idea.
Ballpark. Sure. The Tower Gardens, all inclusive is about $525. That includes everything that you need to start a tower garden or farm. All you need to add is water and love. It has seedlings. It has germinator kit. It has a timer. It has the pump. It has everything for you to get started. So $525 is the whole cost of the tower garden. The shipping to Hawaii on that is $125. So total, it's about $650. You have two options of payment. You can pay for it in full, or you can break it into 12 monthly installments. So for example, if you wanted to purchase one, the first payment will include the tax, the shipping, and your first month's payment. So you're looking probably at about $170. $170 to get started. That tower garden arrives in your home within 10 days. You start dropping the seeds, and 2 weeks later, you have sprouts. So in the first month, the second month approaches, you're going to pay your next $50. You put your seedlings into your tower. By the end of that second month, you have lettuce that you can consume. By the third and fourth month, you'll be having much more production. So what I'm trying to get at is by the third and fourth month, the amount of produce that you're consuming from your tower would already pay for that monthly installment. I've had my towers on my balcony for the last 7 years. The first year, it's paid for. So for the last 6 years, like I mentioned earlier, I consume about $120 a month of produce. It costs me about $15 to maintain a tower after paid off. So I'm still ahead $105 savings in my pocket. But I really want to impress upon your audience is that when you buy a tower garden, you're buying peace of mind. Remember those slugs? I don't get them. Remember your snails? I don't get them. Remember E. coli, rat, lungworm? I won't get it. So what is the cost of that in your body for you and your family? Is that not worth, $50 a month? So that's how people need to look at this. It's an alternative.
Well, they have to need to look at food in general.
Yeah,
like that,
and the
you
quality
know?
Of food.
So I think a lot of people that are moving in this direction, they're starting to eat this way, and they're, you know, going to Whole Foods, they're going to Down to Earth, you know, they're, you know, getting the organic versus, you know, not organic, getting things that are local versus, you know, from another foreign country. So they start to look at that, and yes, the bills add up. You know, so when you realize like you're changing your lifestyle, you know, on what you're eating and what you're taking in, and you're noticing the difference on your body, you then realize like, oh, maybe I'll just do this sometimes because it's so expensive, right? Mm-hmm. So if there is a solution for the people that are already changing their lifestyles to make it more accessible and at a lower price, you know, I think this is where people will start doing it. And I also think that this is such a great idea for kids. If this were to be a project, I mean, you could, maybe your kid is wanting a hoverboard or a iPad or something for Christmas. But if you bought like one of your, even you start off with your younger kids, like, you know, 4 or 5 years old, and you bought this for their present, you know, for Christmas.
Good mommy girl.
They would really, like, it's interactive, you know, they got to grow the seeds. It's like a project for them, and they like this kind of interaction, and then you do it with them, mm-hmm. but then they see the growth, right? Because how you said, you see, oh, it's growing, it's sprouting, and mm-hmm. then the kids, like, they love that at the young age. If they get yeah. them started then, right?
And, you know, to one more point on that is when they grow it, they're going to eat it.
Yeah, and then they'll eat it. It's true, because that's because they're doing it. Right. And then they will act like, you know, they don't want to eat veggies when they're little. You know, I have to, my daughter's 9 right now, and getting her to eat veggies is hard, even if it's in a smoothie.
Really?
Yeah, so she knows she has to, but she doesn't like it. But mm-hmm. if she takes part in it,
yes.
you know.
And let me give you one example, a great example of that. You know, we have 3 towers at the Easter Seals program, and these are for mentally, physically challenged people and adults and kids. But they have the tower garden, and they grow their vegetables. And these are autistic kids coming to me on wheelchairs, and they come and they're like, I teach them how to do the seedlings, and then they put it in the tower, and they're watching it grow. On an Earth Day, they invite us to come and eat with them. And when I'm eating with them, they go, Auntie, what do you want? And I pick the salad I want, and I consume it. And then when I look behind me, those kids are doing the same thing. They're picking the salad because they grew it. They're putting it in a bowl with their dressing, and they're consuming it. And, you know, that's a feat in itself, because, I mean, normally speaking, autistic kids don't like greens and veggies. A lot of them don't.
They're not autistic. I think just kids in general.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Well, like,
exactly.
We went on a farm tour at Kahumana Farms mm-hmm. with my daughter not too long ago. And so when my husband and I and Charlie, we went, there was other kids too, but they had the opportunity to pull up carrots, right? So they pulled up carrots, and some of the kids, it's like, this is their life. Like, you know, their parents are just like, they grow stuff, and the kids are just like grabbing and eating the carrot, you know, and they're just right out of the ground, because it's organic, so it's not as clean as yours, you know, there's dirt all over them, but you know, they, you know, cleaned it off and they started eating them. And so my daughter isn't used to that, but you know, our daughter was like, okay. And so she wanted to be cool like the other kids and start eating her carrot, and it's like this purple carrot, you know, and it's like she's just eating it. And you know, I'm just like, you know, but that's because it was part of what she was doing,
right.
You know, so all you parents that are listening, or grandparents, this is definitely a good option.
Very good option.
Much
family,
better than
family
online
bonding,
stuff.
You know, for sure. And you know, like, I know one of my friends is a grandfather, and what he did was every weekend when the grandkids would come, they would go straight to Tower Garden. And they would say, Grandpa, is it growing? And then the grandpa would talk story with them around the tower. And they all had like 4 plants to grow. And they all were comparing each other every week they came. And that was the bonding time with grandpa and the kids and growing. So something very positive, you know, reinforcing very positive skills and life skills.
And values, yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
And memories, right? Growing with the tower with grandpa.
So now that we've kind of, you guys wrapped your head around the tower garden and what it is, we'll definitely have some pictures for you up, but maybe you could explain how we've moved into this urban farming situation. So a tower garden is definitely a part of the solution,
for sure.
But my brain just starts going crazy about thinking of all the different options that we could be doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is like, well, we don't have the money, or there's no funding for this type of thing. But you know, there are solutions that I see that are very viable that we could do. And, you know, I had just been on a panel yesterday with Go Farm Hawaii, talking to the new farmers that mm-hmm. are, you know, starting businesses as well. And I would love to see, because that program, they're growing farmers mm-hmm. and helping them with business plans.
Mm-hmm.
So all of them may not necessarily, you know, be working the farm at the end of the day. They probably know how to, and they'll assist people. But maybe some of this industry could be consultants on farming,
mm-hmm.
or could,
for sure.
you know, branch out. And there's so many options. So some of it here in our landscape of Honolulu, we have, you know, buildings. So can you dive into some options.
I'd love to.
That you see would work perfectly.
Hold me back. So that's why I don't sleep much. I mean, from the time I have my tower on my balcony and I stand on my balcony and I look out, what do I see? I see rooftops. I see rooftops that won't cost anything to rent and it's non-producing. However, what if we change the site that when I looked out of my balcony, I would see green rooftops? So in New York City, six floors up in one of the restaurants called Bell Book and Candle in Manhattan, he has 30 tower gardens and all the food that he produces up on the top, he hoists it down six floors to his Bell Book and Candle restaurant. And that's what he serves daily. So if he has a lot of zucchini, the slugs didn't come and get it. The snails didn't get it. So what he does is he now features zucchini on every dish.
Did you hear about the Prince Waikiki?
That they have a growing wall?
Or they no. So I just heard this and I was meaning to go research it. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking maybe you should go talk to them because they're actually starting to move in this direction.
Yes.
So maybe they might be interested in what you're doing. But they actually have some planters and everything on the roofs now. And they're growing like the herbs and some of the basic things that they need for their kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's
exactly. And I've been working with the Prince for a while. And they were looking towards the growing walls, but that didn't meet their needs. So we were talking initially and then they stopped. So they may have been researching another vehicle to grow. And whatever you decide to grow, I mean, whether it's aquaponics, hydroponics, aeroponics, the fact is just do whatever is convenient and that you're passionate about doing. One is not better than the other. It's just I love aeroponics because of the savings of space. We use 90% less land. We use 90% less water and it's 100% success. So we grow vertically. So in 3 diameter feet, Christina, I can grow 55 plants in 3 diameter feet. So just envision if you had 1 acre of tower gardens growing 55 plants upwards, it's equivalent to 5 acres of food. I use 1 acre of towers, but I grow up in the sky. It's equivalent to 5 acres of commercial or traditional farming.
So if you were to say one tower,
mm-hmm.
how much produce would you do it by pound or how would you categorize, like how much would it feed?
Oh, okay.
At full capacity.
Okay.
Right?
So residentially, it comes with 20 pots that you can grow 20 plants. If you purchase the extension, you can grow up to 28 plants. Now we also have a microgreen extension. So the base is 20. The microgreens extensions give you 32 more plants. So right here in back of you, and we'll have pictures of this, you have 52 plants growing on 3 diameter feet. Okay. So how I would take it to market is I could have 52 heads of lettuce or 52 bags of food. And if I was to harvest all of that, and let's just say I were to sell each bag or each head for $3 a head. You do the math. 52 times 3 is not a bad source of income or not a bad source of income saved. Or if you're going to sell it, you could do it as a business.
Yeah, and that's for your family, right?
Right.
And it's just
right.
coming in.
And that's how I do my calculations. It's not by the pound, but it's pretty much by the head, whether it's bok choy, whether it's romaine or butter lettuce or manioc. It's by the head is how you would sell this or calculate. And that's what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the other, you know, maybe you could throw out some other places that are doing this as well. I know mm-hmm. you mentioned something in Dubai, so that was interesting.
Right. I was sharing with you earlier that in the middle of a desert, they're building up a walking community, no cars, just walking and golf carts or electric vehicles, the little ones. And how they make it sustainable is within like dome homes, there are dome complexes, I should say, they're growing their food. Their food source, their plant base is all grown within the community. So everything is sustained. It's right in the center. They have the schools and the libraries and all the farm in the middle and all the homes around it. So everything is walked in.
Yeah, it's all desert everywhere.
Yes, it's all desert, hot like heck. The whole place is painted white. The roads, everything is white. So it'll reflect, number one, and it'd be cooler. And they're being sustainable within each pod that they're putting up. So that in itself to me is very exciting because it's in Dubai, it's a different story. If you did this like in Africa or in different places where they don't have such ability to be so commune style. And like we were talking earlier, for many of the different situations or projects that I personally am trying to work on is substance and drug abuse communities, the vets, the U.S. vets, where we're trying to place them on the outside of our living conditions, like in Barbers Point, where we're having vet centers. Why not give them a Tower Garden farm and let them farm and give them purpose so that they can feel value to themselves? And who knows, they may even eat that food and they're becoming healthier, mm-hmm. mind, body, and soul. And then they can even use this as a vehicle to turn it into a business so that they are income generating and becoming useful once again, before they went to fight for our country. So there's so many different outlets that we can promote this in, whether it's in an urban setting, whether we take it outside to the, you know, to the countryside. So many, not just urban, but everywhere there is a possibility, there is, it can happen.
Yeah.
And it's people like you, Christina, that will put it out there, and you'll find one or two other hearts and minds that will see and understand what we're trying to promote. And they'll say, hey, I want to see what we can do.
Well, I would like to see this move into development. I would like to see urban ag move more into almost a standard for, you know,
yes.
building.
Yes.
It's very easy. If we're already spending the money on landscapers, every community association has to pay a certain amount to landscape, you know, and have a, you know, gardener come every day. I know ours has two or three that is probably hired. And that's what they do all day long, is groom the grounds. Because our area has a very large, we have a dog park with big trees on it. It's actually a pretty big ground space with lots of foliage. And you're just like, wow, there's so much space that you can, you know, plant. That tree can be fruit trees, you know, mm-hmm. and or an avocado. And then you're like, oh, this whole green space that the dogs can't even go on, it's just sitting there nice and green and trimmed down to the T so perfectly, and nobody goes on it. Like, it could be rows of food, right? And then, you know, like you said, on the rooftops can, I don't know, not every building has the access to it, but others do. Or maybe when you're building a brand new building, you're taking that into account. Like how people are taking into account that they're wanting to add solar to their roofs, then why aren't you also considering the space for gardening or for having these, you know, food producing like landscapes where, you know, the gardeners are also trained to be farmers.
Exactly.
Or you hire farmers and half of it is a farmer, or maybe the farmer does both. You know,
or you can hire Towered Up, which is a company that I have Derek Chan here with me. And Derek Chan's, our company produces seedlings for these tower gardens, as well as we offer maintenance and management.
See, so
for
even
the farms.
If you don't want to do anything now, you can hire you guys to do the very minimal stuff
right.
too.
right. And you know, getting back to like your building. You said you have 33, you're on the 33rd floor. I don't know how high it goes. You have this beautiful, immaculate spot of green grass there. How about, like you were saying, either put farm there, a farm part of it, or just use a part of it. And you can greenhouse it, or you can just leave it in the elements. But if you just put, say they put 20 towers, which wouldn't take a whole lot of space. Now, I think that whether it's in your building or an amenity in urban setting, that how about a live living produce stand? Okay, so you have 20 towers producing 52 plants per tower, and every day you come downstairs from your 33rd floor and say, you know what, honey, go downstairs and go get some romaine lettuce. Okay, so you come downstairs, you pull off two heads of romaine, and then maybe you want to buy some arugula, and you pull off a head of that, and when we sell it to you, it'll come out with the whole roots. And then you take it upstairs and goes, oh, Christina, you know what, John just called, he invited us for dinner, we can't eat all that lettuce. No problem, honey. And all you do is you put it in a glass of water in your condo, 33 floors in the sky, and it's continuing to grow. Okay? But now, when you pull those three heads of veggies out of the tower, it's, say, $3. And you just deposit $3 into a can, and that's just $9 that you gave to this live living produce stand. Now, it could be an amenity for the building. So the building can use it, yes, number one, to pay off the principal. And then just to maintain it, there's going to be extra funds in there.
Yeah, and that's what I mean when, if we were to have maybe consultants, right, that this is their job to, they can literally go to every condo association and say, hey, you know, this is an alternative and this is what it's going to cost and this is you know, options. Like maybe you're in a building where there's a lot of people that want to do a community garden, and maybe it's just a part of the association that wants to adopt something like this, and they want to put it in their budget, and that's what they want to vote on. And if it is, then great, and it's something they could do. I mean, shoot, there's a farmer's market next door. Maybe that community association, you know, garden, you know, group decides to sell it
association. And any of these beautiful condos, they offer all the brilliant amenities, which is great. You know, the best gym, the best sauna, the best whirlpool, right? But that's money they pour in, and it's not income generating. Yes. But imagine if you just put up 20 towers, and yes, you're going to feed your residents the best food possible in the state because they're growing it right there. Plus, it's income generating. So saying XYZ building did exactly that, and then they are income generating and they have all this money left over. So then XYZ building can now support a scholarship. So say like Johnny in the building next door, which is a little bit lower end, they needed to go to college, have XYZ scholarship, and whoever has the best, whatever their criteria is, can win a scholarship from XYZ building.
You could do something like that, or maybe it's paying for something that the association was wanting to do or beautify within themselves.
Or a better Christmas party.
Yeah, right.
With better prizes
and building food.
Yes. The budget is always the problem. And then, you know, have prizes and build the community of the building versus not. So these are all just really powerful things for community building, number one, bonding and getting healthier mind, body, and soul. By having this, and this is so positive, there's nothing negative. That's why when Tim Blank, I just saw him a couple weeks ago, I just pat him on the back and said, boy, do you even know what the heck you created with this tower garden? And he goes, what you talking about, Wendy? I'm going, not only is it the best vehicle to grow the best source of food, but we have kids learning curriculum around the tower gardens. We have boys
so
and
what
girls.
What schools are you
what we're working with? We have it in Kapolei High School has one. Campbell High School has it. Punahou, Iolani has 7 tower gardens. They have a sustainability director that works with him. Kamehameha Schools has a couple, and now they're bringing us in to rebuild it. The CIP, Culinary Institute of the Pacific, they have one just like this in their kitchen. And their futuristic planning is to have 60 so that they can produce the food, number one, produce the food and sell it to the Canning Club, which is going to be popping up. And that money that they income generate with, that money, they could use it as a fund so that all the students who want to go to visit different kitchens in the culinary program have a little bit of vehicle, financial vehicle to get them to other places. So more and more schools should get them. And get this, the other weekend before I went on my trip, I spoke to an insurance company and he really liked the idea. Hey, if I get my members, if they can commit to getting their numbers down, like their A1Cs or their blood pressure, bringing the numbers down, the reward at the end.
What about the senior community?
Exactly. The Kupuna centers, they all love it. And so,
what about,
and the Keiki?
The plazas, do you know they can afford all of that?
The plaza, the plaza has one.
Really, like, oh, they do?
Yeah, the Waikiki Plaza has 2 and it's on their commercial. So I was thinking, and I used to go once a week because I love hanging out with the Kupuna. So I'd be going there and talking story with them and teaching them to grow. And then they were cutting it, they were eating
it. It's much easier, right? For them,
then no need bend
like,
down,
then, yeah, right.
No
and
need
being in the sun,
yeah.
On the ground,
and they're on wheelchairs and walkers,
right?
So it's
exactly.
So good for them. The Kupunas is my heart, the Kupunas, the vets,
awesome.
The homeless community, you know, they're all right there, and those are exactly the ones that we're working with now.
So, is there some type of grants that you can apply for to get all this, or have you?
There are grants out there, and it's whether it's the Department of Ag. And just even like different groups that are having monies that they're wanting to give, like
or donate, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a way that people can donate, you know, if they're wanting to maybe help out a group of some sort, then, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you're donating one of these towers.
Exactly. And so that insurance company, not only when their members drop down their numbers, the reward for them is you get a tower garden. Okay. And as long as they maintain their numbers by eating healthier, they can keep the tower. But once the numbers go crazy and they're not doing anything about it, the tower garden comes back to the company. That's one vehicle we spoke on. The next thing he was excited about was, how about if we put one tower in each of the elementary schools? So you talk about grants and sponsorship. And this is sponsored by XYZ company.
Yeah.
And we care about kids at Aina Haina School.
How many elementary schools are on Island?
Oh, I don't know exactly, but And he was willing, and he is willing to look at it. So now that I'm back in town, that's one of the projects I'm going to be working with him.
That would be awesome.
Yes.
Can we start with Peaches Elementary? City Highlands Elementary.
Yeah. Just drop the seed. And if there's a contact that you need us to talk to, I'll go there. See, what it is say you were a teacher there. You have to have the right heart to say, you know what, I want to implement this. But the teachers love the Tower Gardens because why?
Science and math.
And there's a whole curriculum written already around
it.
There is one, and it's out, and it's all accessible.
Maybe I can get a hold of that curriculum. It'd be good to see.
We'll send it to you. But also, so you're the teacher. When you come, you're bombarded with your whole lesson plan. But now you got to go out in the garden, and you got to weed and till the land before the students come, because you know that that's part of what you want to do. And then they have to take care of that piece of land. And then the kids come and they drop the seed.
But it's also so hot over there.
Yeah. Exactly. And the teachers don't want to go in the dirt when they don't have time and they're busy, and then they got to get dirty and hot. So that's why the Tower Garden is so beautiful, because they just wheel that bugger out,
and put the water in.
Yeah.
Yes,
there you go. There you go. And then the kids come in the first classes, they drop the seeds and they watch it grow, and they, you know, they chart it. And then after 2 weeks, they put in a tower. So by the second month, before the second month, they're already consuming.
Yeah, but, and then every 2 months, they go to another class.
Right. And then when school is pow, they just empty out the water, wash it down, and put it in storage. And then next year comes, they don't have to till the earth again and da-da-da. So the teachers love this vehicle of teaching and growing.
That's awesome. We've got to get this in our schools.
Yes, ma'am. Let's do it. Yeah. And if anybody out there hears this and they have the same heart to help Christina and Derek and I to promote wellness through the Tower Garden and just another means of growing, then let's make it happen.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to dive into a little different sector, because I know we're coming close on time here, but I did want to cover the Blue Zone project that you, I don't know, do you spearhead it in your area? Do you, one of the main contributors to the one here?
I'm just a very 100% in volunteer. Kobe Takeda is in charge of our Blue Zone project.
So maybe for the listeners, they have no idea what Blue Zone is. So how about we start from the get-go, from the very beginning?
So there are, I believe, 5 established Blue Zones in the world. And basically, a Blue Zone is a style, a lifestyle. So like Okinawa is one, and Loma Linda, California, is another Blue Zone. They have one in Costa Rica. They have one in Greece, Sardinia, and one more country, but there are 5 Blue Zones. And basically what it means is their lifestyle is they're eating more plant strong, they're exercising more, and this is all within their lifestyle that they've grown up with, and their community is very strong. So when we watch the Blue Zones of Okinawa, there was a group of women, and they're like over 100, they're all centennials. 100+. Wow. And so that's another thing. Their amount of centennials outnumber any other country, which qualifies them to be a Blue Zone. The lifestyle that they live.
So why are we a Blue Zone?
Well, Hawaii should be a Blue Zone. And that's why the Blue Zone projects are so, like, every district. I belong to the 4 M's, Makali, Mo'ilili, Manoa, and Makiki. So those are right here in front of me. That's my area. So the Blue Zones project people here, we're visiting all the schools, the churches, the businesses, and getting them Blue Zone knowledge and savvy. And so that's, I go into Washington Intermediate with the Blue Zone people with me, and we encourage the kids to learn about Blue Zones, to live it and be making healthier choices, exercise more, and speaking nicely to each other. And so this,
those are the, what are the exact principles, I guess, of Blue Zone?
Exactly that. You know, the lifestyle, and in eating, and in, of course, just community. So those Okinawan women, they've been together for the last 70, 80 years. Every morning they get together, they talk story, they eat healthy diets, and then they walk into the streets in this one neighborhood. And when the preschool is done, all the kids come running down. And as those little kids come running down, all the tutus, they hug each kid. They hug each kid. So now the keiki, so it's all intergenerational as well. Keiki kupuna exchange, love on each other. And that's how the kids, that's what they're used to. They're not running away from the old people because they're different looking and you know, sitting down. No, these keiki embrace. And that's what this is. Sometimes we're missing a lot of that in raising up kids here in Hawaii. They don't have aunties. They don't have kupuna. So we need to bring the kupuna and the keiki together so that they can learn from each other, keeping one young and the other one
back to the culture.
Very, very much so.
We are losing so quickly.
So Blue Zone is so important. And I know that we've made milestones here in our community. Every district has a Blue Zone. And I know it's a program that was...
Who brought it to Hawaii?
Well, I want to say that the Blue Zones is part of HMSA and Blue Cross Blue Shield. And that's their, what do you say? It's like a part of an entity of the main corporation. And I know Oprah has a main play in the Blue Zone and implementing that within the states. And of course, Hawaii should be a Blue Zone.
Yeah,
I mean, right?
Got a question.
I mean, look at how...
Too bad that we are a Blue Zone just automatically.
Yes.
I feel like we probably were, and it's no longer, you know, it's us having to get back to where
yes.
we were.
Yes. And that's what we really, every one of us needs to really focus, you know, on our lifestyle and what our choices are for ourselves that we want to pass to the next generation. And that's so important. We're not thinking that far ahead. And so for me, the passion comes for me because of that fact that I stated earlier, knowing that my grandchildren will have a shorter life expectancy than my children. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make this happen. And so that's my focus. And I wish that other, you don't even have to be a mommy or a daddy. You can be just Christina having the passion to want more for your generation and the next to come. And this is what will propel all of us, the passion to make it better.
So besides these two projects, what other boards or things are you on? I think a lot of our young professionals that are definitely getting involved, whether it's nonprofit wise or they're getting involved in the community. It's always good to hear what some of these sustainable leaders are moving towards or where their focus is and, you know, how do they get started? So that's one of things I like to ask too.
Sure. So I know the University of Hawaii, they have a scholars program, an honors program, and they call me in to speak to these intellects. And why they bring me in is because they're intellectual people. They're going to be doctors and researchers and scientists, but they're working from a brain level of business and approaching the world. So we want to incorporate working from the heart. So my role is to incorporate the nonprofit or the volunteerism. So to make them more balanced. Because yeah. you can do everything with brain, but you need to incorporate heart to make success, I believe.
Or the connection.
Right.
Right. The real, right. genuine connection.
Right. And
with
so,
people.
When I was doing my chocolate factory, my business, every nonprofit approached me for donations. So I would ask them, what was their goal and where do they need help? And so I ended up on 12 boards at that time simultaneously. And people are thinking that is crazy, but it just made sense to me. So I sponsored and worked with the Miss Hawaii girls. And my job there is to encourage them to not just work on their body, but do it healthy, you know, helpfully, not starve their body, but when they are working towards a goal, make sure they're doing it correctly.
Yeah. So it's not just eating the right food. It's also eating the right food and not eating.
Yeah. You know, because
or just the different types of, you know, things that happen, I would say.
Just making them aware.
Yeah.
You know, that there is a better way or a right way versus just a way to lose weight or to yeah. get to their body weight that they're looking towards. So Ms. Hawaii, I was on the American Heart Association's board of directors. Currently, I still sit on for the River of Life mission. We take people off the street and we feed them and we try to encourage them to get vocational trained and income generating and just get them off of their addictions. And we started a chocolate factory in there. And that chocolate factory's main goal is vocational training, income generation for the people from the street.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, my main passion right now is American Diabetes Association. And I've been sitting on that board 8 years, going on 9. Knew nothing about diabetes 8 years ago. And now, not that I'm an expert, but I surround myself with the knowledge that I learned from all the endocrinologists and the people in that field. So that...
Well, it's crazy how you can... You know, onset diabetes can disappear if you're working on your diet.
Gee, how neat is that? And you better repeat that, girl, because
it's
that,
true.
It is true.
It is a discipline. You know, my mom has onset diabetes, and it's something that, you know, she will struggle with forever. And, you know, we're at that phase now where it's, you know, we got to look at the diet. and we got to look at, you know, things like that. So I have, you know, personally, I have that, you know, connection with it. And, you know, I'm looking at the way our parents are, because, you know, and the way they lived, and, you know, we're trying to, you know, do things better and live better. So we don't fall into the same, you know, caveats. Like my mom and dad, especially my mom, she was fortunate enough, and I look at it now, maybe it wasn't fortunate, but she was skinny and didn't have to worry about what she ate. She could eat whatever she wanted up until like early 40s. You mm-hmm. know, the metabolism didn't Magic slow down to that point where it was just so easy. She didn't have to work out. She could eat whatever she wanted. You know, she could still enjoy drinks and all of that. Me, on the other hand, I think I just took the genes of my other side, and I always had to work out. I always had to do everything from when I was little. I was a chubster when I was little. So if I didn't work out and I wasn't in sports, like the pounds I could just tell would just come on me if I just ate something. You know, so for me, it was always, I had to live this healthy life and work right. out. Right. Whereas my parents that was never a part of their life, you know, style of what they were doing. So to make that change, you know, at 45 is not as realistic. You know, for me, it's like, oh, from college, I was already doing this. Mm-hmm. So that whole change is something for my mom. So she started getting a trainer and doing that type of stuff. But at the end of the day, 80% of it is diet.
Oh, yeah, right? Lifestyle diet.
It's the diet.
And, you know, no fault of yours that, you know, you said you were a chubster. It's the food and what they're putting in our food. And so just, number one, being aware.
Yeah. You know? And that was at the time. You know, right. We didn't know. And there's a few Netflixes online that videos that are definitely worth watching.
Big time.
Did you see the Miracle Pill before?
No.
You should watch it. If you have Netflix, it's called The Miracle Pill. I'll put that in Link, on there, please. Too. But it's actually really amazing because it does cover the keto diet and mm-hmm. how it works on different types of people and mm-hmm. autistic kids too. And they actually have a little, it wasn't like a Hawaii thing, but they had a little excerpt of Shriners Hospital with the autistic kids and the tests that they're doing with the diets.
Wow.
So they actually pulled in some of Hawaii's, people in there.
Wow.
But it's actually the Aborigines. And then they've got, you know, people in different parts of the states and, you know, doing this diet. And it's a really interesting, very easy way to understand, you know, how the diet itself can really affect you. So, you know, something to consider, watching, you know, especially, you know, I know that there's definitely, do you go plant-based or do you go, you know, how do you end up eating? Regardless of how you end up eating, it's worth watching. Mm-hmm. So I know some of it is definitely, you know, meat forward, but at the same time, it's about eating clean and healthy.
Yeah, you know? For sure. So. Let me give you an example. I was just in Asia and I ate like 22 course meals for lunch and dinner. And I was there for almost 2 weeks. But we walked a lot, but I ate everything from scratch. No fast foods, no, everything was just good, basic
food. Yeah.
When I came home, I lost 3 pounds. Okay. And who would think with that much consumption that I would lose weight? I was just in Sacramento and San Fran a week and I gained pounds and I feel it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Big difference. 1 week of just pigging out versus 2 weeks of pigging out with great food. I lost weight there. I mean, how is that? So I didn't even do it as a study. I just know. And so I'm walking proof right now of that and food choices. So.
Yeah. And when I went to Europe, I thought I was going to, I probably threw on extra 5 pounds, but they have a lot of yummy carbs there too.
Yeah.
So, you know, even though everything is very, like a lot of it is organic, a lot of it is, you know, whole food, like foods right from local places, but, and they're good foods too. Right. But I was also there in November. There was definitely less veggies than I'm used to eating. So I know that, and you know, you gotta drink the wines and indulge a little bit there. So being there for that long and only gaining 5 pounds.
That's not bad at all.
with as much as I ate. But yes, you do walk a lot. Yes. They do have a lot more clean food across the board.
Yes.
And, you know, you're trying everything. I definitely had my share of carbs, though. I would say that for sure.
And wine.
And wine. Yeah, that's carbs, too. For those of you who don't know.
A lot of sugar there.
Yeah. Well, this pretty much wraps up our time here because we are in the hour. And so thank you so much for joining us. I just wanted to say thank you for having me here at your place. We'll definitely get some photos out to everybody and the links as well. And to all of you, thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and check us out at www.smartlivinghi.com. Also follow us on Instagram, which is @smart_living_Hawaii, and like us on Facebook. Mahalo, and until next time, live smart.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.